Patrick Kane has he's been the story of the first 30 plus games in the NHL this season. Like Kane's been a good player before, but man, he's been really dynamic this season.
He really has, and I think what's different this year is that he's had instant chemistry with his new linemates of Artemi Panarin and Artem Anisimov. In years past, it seems like he's always kind of shuffled around which center he was playing with, who else was going to be on that left wing. But this year, it pretty much stayed the same. Panarin, Anisimov, and Kane have been among the most dangerous lines in the NHL. Panarin, you know, is in the running for Rookie of the Year right now. Anisimov, I think, has worked out that trade that sent Brandon Saad to Columbus has worked out pretty well for the Hawks on that end. So it's been a lot of fun to watch that line, and it's basically carried the Hawks throughout the early part of the season. You know, for a long time, the Hawks have had trouble getting scoring from their other three lines, but that line has kind of saved them and has helped them kind of stay afloat in the competitive central so far this season.
Well, Anisimov has 11 goals. He only has 18 points while Kane has 46, you know, playing together so much. Has Anisimov kind of been like the third assist all the time? How come his point totals don't reflect it as much as his two line mates?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure. Until you just pointed that out, actually, why his point total hasn't mirrored that of Kane's. But Anisimov kind of does the dirty things, I think, on the ice. He's the one that's going in front of the net. He's the one that's screening goaltenders. He's the one that's tipping pucks. You know, he's the one he'll bring into the zone. He'll do the necessary things on that line that enables the more skilled guys like Panarin and Kane to kind of work their magic on the perimeter. So the three of them, I think, really fit together well, given that what they do on the ice and their strengths kind of complement each other instead of interfere with each other.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, as you're aware, the Oilers have some skilled forwards up front, and when McDavid was healthy, you know, they tried some combinations, good players who didn't necessarily work well together. When you look at Kane and Panarin, it's almost to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, people are now having to keep an eye on Panarin, and that seems to open up ice for Kane, and he doesn't need a whole lot of room to operate.
No, and their games are kind of similar. Panarin likes to have the puck. He's dangerous with it. He can pull some nifty moves on it. He's got a very dangerous shot. He seems to want to line that thing up, and Kane is always, you know, a prime person to get him the puck in good position to get his shot off. So like I said, it seems to be a really good combination, a really good mixture of skills that the three of them blend together. They usually play together on a power play as well. And when you can add in like a Duncan Keith on that power play, their power play has been really good over those first couple of weeks of the season here, you know, better than it has been in recent years. You look at the Hawks over the last 3-4 years, their power play has just been kind of middle of the road. This year, I think it's among the top 7 or 8 right now in the league, and those three, again, are a big reason why it's working.
As good as the top line of the Chicago Blackhawks has been going, Chris, a lot of people are looking. Jonathan Toews is making $10.5 million, and I know he's a two-way player and everything, but he's only got 17 points in 32
right.
games, right? That's, you know, that's not what they want. They don't want him to be a 45-point player making $10.5 million. What's been missing from his game offensively?
I think part of it is, again, trying to figure out who's going to play with him and Marian Hossa. It basically, over the first couple of weeks, was kind of a rotating cast of, let's try anybody on that left wing to play with these two and see if anybody sticks. He went through everybody. There was Andrew Shaw, there was Table Teravainen, and there was Victor Tikhonov, there was, you know, Brian Bickle, you name it, and they were up there on that left wing. Now, over the last couple of games, Joe Quenneville's kind of settled on Teravainen in that slot, and I think that makes the most sense going forward. I don't think Table Teravainen is the type of guy who's going to be a fourth line checking kind of guy. You know, I think his usefulness is up with more skilled players. The thing with Teravainen is that he has a really good shot, except he seems hesitant to want to take it when you have Toews and Hossa up there, two guys who like to have the puck in their hands as much as possible. So Teravainen needs to work on, I think, becoming a little more selfish and realizing that, hey, these guys can put me in good position to score. I need to take advantage of that.
Now, you know, Toews is a competitive guy. I'm sure, you know, whether he admits it or not, he knows what his points total are. He looks in the paper like everyone else. How's he handling it? How's his demeanor around the room? I know he puts team first, but it's still got to be eaten at him, I would think, that points total.
Yeah, we were talking to him today before the game, and you know, he seemed, and you know, as he always is, you know, he's one of the most level-headed, you know, even-keel kind of guys, you know, that's in the sport. That's why he's the captain, because nothing really seems to rattle him. I will say, we asked him a couple of weeks ago, or I would say it was last week in Nashville. You know, we were talking about Kane's streak, and, you know, somebody asked him, you know, what do you think of Kane's streak and what he's been able to do? And he had something to the reply of, you know, I can't even put two games together. And here he is putting together, you know, 23, 24, or whatever it was at the time. So I think you're right. He is well aware that he hasn't scored a lot of points this season. But at the same time, I also wonder if he poised for, you know, a little flurry, you know, or a little hot streak of his own. I'm not saying it's going to be 20-some games, but, you know, just an outburst where the goals and the points start coming for him. Because when he has scored points this season, it has seemed like they've come in little bunches. So I wouldn't worry too much about him. I think he'll be fine.
Heading into tonight, the Oilers and the Hawks have scored the exact same amount of goals in the season, 85. Hawks, of course, a little bit better on the power play right now than the Edmonton Oilers. The difference, of course, is goals against. The Oilers have still given up too many goals against. It's slowly coming down. But the Oilers and the Hawks have had some, pond hockey games the last few seasons. And I know Chicago always talks about it, how, you know, and Joel Quenneville never wants to get into that game. But they always find, you know, a way how somehow, some way, you know, the Oilers and the Hawks, we end up with 9 goals combined or sometimes 11. What are the Hawks leery of it? And as you talk about how good the Hawks first line is, how good do they have to be defensively against the Hall-Draisaitl combination right now?
You know, I think they're a little worried about Edmonton's speed, and I think that's why you see the kind of pond hockey, as you say, you know, when these teams get together. When you have two teams like that can be quick with the puck and you know, like to have it in their own zone, it kind of lends itself to that kind of hockey, which is very entertaining hockey, by the way. You know, nobody's complaining about, you know, 9 goals being scored in a game. But, you know, I think that is good for the league. As for the Blackhawks, I think, you know, they are wary of Edmonton. The one thing about the Hawks this year that's a little different from last year is I do think their puck possession numbers aren't where they want them. They're not terrible, but they're not great like they have been in recent years. And that's one thing that the Hawks are trying to work on in terms of balance throughout their four lines. You know, the game against the Avalanche the other night when they got shut out 2-0, you know, after the game, you know, they were pretty fed up with that performance. It seemed like Colorado was dominating puck possession, you know, and the Blackhawks were playing catch-up all night long pretty much. So if there's one thing to watch out for the Hawks, they have been good at rebounding after bad losses this season. So I would expect their effort to be a little more focused tonight on that end.
Chris, one of the challenges for the Oilers this year is they've had some young defensemen back there, guys who in a couple years may be something special. And, you know, Darnell Nurse and Griffin Reinhart was up and sent down and Brandon Davidson. When I look at Chicago's defense, it seems to me there might be some peril in the opposite end of the spectrum. Is Joel going to trot out Rob Scuderi and Michael Roosevelt? Because they're getting on in age, and is there a chance they'll be a pairing?
Well, they were a pairing the other night. You know, combined age of 73 years old is your Hawks' third defensive pairing there the other night. I think you're going to see David Runblad back in the lineup tonight. I'm not 100% positive on that one, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that. I'm not sure who sits. I would say maybe Roosevelt sits as a result of that. Since Scuderi just got here, I don't think Funville's going to want to sit him right away. You know, but that's the thing. They traded Trevor Daley, who was a little younger, a little more offensive-minded for Scuderi, who was a little older and a little more defensive-minded. And I don't think when it comes to Quenneville and who he likes out there on the blue line, it's more about, you know, is this guy reliable? And he tends to to like veterans who have been there before, who maybe are a little more reliable, maybe not as quick or as flashy, and maybe not as offensive-minded, but guys that are going to get the job done and aren't going to make too many mistakes out there. You know, that's why you saw Kimo Tiimonen playing in the Stanley Cup final last season. You know, Quenneville likes that reliability. He doesn't like, you know, unproven youth that's going to make dumb mistakes in tight situations. Interestingly enough, they have had to rely on a rookie this year in Trevor Van Riemsdyk to play top four caliber minutes for them. So there is a little bit of that mix, and I think before the season three, you're going to see another young defenseman come up and start playing heavy minutes for the Hawks, whether it be Victor Svedberg or Erik Gustafsson, two guys who are currently in Rockford right now. But right now, like you said, you know, Skudarian Roosevelt is their third pairing on D, you know, if everybody's healthy.
I love that, 73 years of age. You go with the experience. You like reliability, but you wonder about the foot speed. That'll be interesting to watch as it plays out. As always, we appreciate the rundown. Enjoy the game tonight, and let's hope it's a little pond hockey because, Chris, I'm with you. I think it's highly entertaining. Appreciate your time.
I agree. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.